All right, y'all ready to get started? The best session of Build 2018. That's why you're here, right? IoT and, no, just kidding. Progressive web apps. On Azure, yeah. Now, so my name is Jeff Bertoff, and I'm a principal program manager for the Partner App Experience Group in Windows. And what that basically means is it's my job to help developers build progressive web apps. So basically, I have the very best job in the world. And I'm hiring. So if anybody else wants to help, let me know. So very first thing, many of you may know what progressive web apps are. But I want to start and make sure that we're all on the same page when we talk about progressive web apps. Progressive web apps are web apps that take on native application characteristics. Now, the way that I like to think about it is we talk about all of these different aspects. Of course, it should be progressive, which means that when it has access to particular features, it should take advantage of those features. But when those features aren't there, it shouldn't fail, it shouldn't crash. It should be performant. It should work like a native app. It should work across devices. It should feel like an application. And really, when we talk about these different aspects, we're really talking about different characteristics and different things we've been working on in the web space for years, just coming together under one umbrella. Because progressive web apps isn't really a particular technology. It's a group of technologies that, when applied together, make your web app feel like a native application and take on that value that many people get from native applications. Now, I also want to be transparent about what our goal is for progressive web apps. Many people ask us, why is it that Microsoft, why is Windows interested in progressive web apps? We've got C Sharp, we've got XAML, we've got C++. Well, for us, our goal is that your web apps work their very best and the experience of your web content is its very best on Windows. We want our users on Windows to have the very best experience when they're using your web apps. So, of course, we're supporting progressive web apps. Now, what about your reasons for building progressive web apps? I talk with developers a lot about why they choose progressive web apps over native applications. One of the big things is the workflow that we have as web developers. As web developers, we're used to building with web technologies. We have our favorite frameworks. We argue about our favorite frameworks at lunchtime. We don't want to change that. We have build processes in place already. We have our source control that we use, A/B testing. We don't want to abandon that. That really works for us. The second thing is we deploy our code in certain ways. We actually generally deploy our code quite often. We're accustomed to doing a deploy, maybe it's through our source repos where we do a git push, and then the git push runs its tests, and then it's automatically deployed out to the server. Well, that's very important to us. If we had to move to a staged deploy like native applications, it would mean we'd have to change the way we do business. Native apps have to publish their applications into a store, which means they have to get a new version of it, they have to submit it to the App Store and wait for it to be approved, to be published. When web developers publish, we push to our web server, and it's published. And last but not least, we want our content to work everywhere. So our web content, our progressive web apps, shouldn't be something that is just inside the application space. It should be something that works both as a progressive web app and in the browser as web content as well. Another reason is the ecosystem. There are tons of tools, tons of frameworks, tons of languages that we use to build the applications that we're using today. It's important that we still have access to those. It's important that we don't have to change those. It's important that we're able to have the consistency in our code base. many web developers have put a lot of time and energy into their web apps. Asking them to start from scratch to build a native app is often too much of an investment for them to do it. With progressive web apps, you can continue to build on top of the technology that you've already invested in and now move it into the application space. When I talk to progressive web app developers, you tell me that it's very important that your applications work cross-platform. I've met very few developers who have said, hey, I want to build a progressive web app for Windows. No, they want to build a progressive web app that runs everywhere. It's a foundational part of a web app that it's cross-platform. And so when we embrace progressive web apps at Microsoft and on Windows, we want to be sure that we don't mess with that. We want to make sure that it's in a way that your code can still work across platform. And for us, when we introduce it, it's something that works across our Windows devices as well. Just like you're writing for cross-platform, you can work across devices, which means your progressive web app can run on Xbox. It can run on a tablet or a PC. It can run on a Surface Hub. It can run on a HoloLens. So as we introduce new devices to the market, progressive web apps will be there as a way to reach users on those devices. Now let's talk about what it takes to build a progressive web app, okay? I don't want you to write a minimum viable PWA, but it is important to talk about what that low bar is, okay? So we basically have what we call an MVP, a minimum viable progressive web app. It requires three things. It requires that you are secure. You have to be on an HTTPS connection. You have to be secure for service workers to work. To be a progressive web app in the store, you need to be HTTPS. It's a promise we've made to our users that our apps are secure. So if we're going to list your PWA in the store, we want to make sure that it adheres to that. The second thing is a web app manifest. And we'll talk a little bit more about this in a minute, but you need to tell us a little bit about your app. We want to know a name. If we're going to list a progressive web app in the store for a user and they're going to be able to install it, we don't want them to install www.mydomain.com. We want them to install an app that's called My App or whatever your app name is. The last thing is that it has to have some sort of offline functionality. And most developers use service workers for this. So this way you have an experience for your users that even if the network is not connected or poorly connected, your application has still has an experience. We've heard time and again from users that one of the most unexpected things for users is getting a 404 message inside of an application. It just is not what a user inspects. So we want to make sure that there is an offline experience there. Now I'm going to make an assumption that HTTPS is there. And if you are here to figure out how to do HTTPS, there are plenty of other talks on network out there that you can go to, and I suggest you do. But we're going to assume that that's taken care of for this session's sake. So I'm going to focus a little bit on the web app manifest. Okay, this is what a web app manifest looks like. It's very comfortable for us as web developers because it's JSON. It's something that we're familiar with. Now, we're looking for some important parts of your manifest to consider it a high-quality manifest. So first of all, I mentioned we want a name. If you list a name or a short name inside of your manifest, and that gives us something to work with app-wise. If you have a short name and a name, we use your name in the application list, we put the short name on the tile. The second thing is we want you to add some images. So at least a 512 by 512 size image should get you all the important tile sizes on Windows. But it's important that we have an image that we represent your app with. We don't want to just use a standard fallback of a PWA tile. And then there's a bunch of other details that you can provide us inside the manifest that helps us create a great experience for the users through the app experience. First of all, things like a start URL is very important. We can just assume it's the start URL or the base of the domain, but maybe you have a particular start URL. And then we have things like display and orientation. background, color, and theme that helps us give insights on how you want your application presented. Now, one of the things that we're working on at this point is expanding the options for the display property of the W3C manifest. Today, we support basically two different options. That's the browser mode. And if you tell us that your display is browser, that means your progressive web app is going to run inside of the browser, inside of Edge. And if you tell us it's standalone, and we look at minimal UI today as the same way as standalone, then we know that you want that to be presented as a store application on Windows. That means it gets a listing in the store, it runs in its own app container, and we don't give you any UI aside from a back button. Now, what we're working with for the future versions of Windows, and our goal is for the next one, is to introduce other ones like minimal UI and full screen. So minimal UI will give us a little bit of additional UI so that a user can have a little bit more context for your application. We've heard from developers that there's some cases where they specifically want to show the URL. We understand that the URL is often important to web apps. So we'll have an option that can show you that URL. Now I'm going to take a little step out here and show you a preview of what this will look like. And I'm not on that one. Okay. Now I'm using a VM for this because this is a future build of Windows. And I'm doing it in Visual Studio is the tool I'm using today because that's the one that will run this version. Now trust me that when we release with this, we will have an automated build on PWA Builder and things like that. You won't have to use Visual Studio. It's just the tool that I'm using today for this. Okay, so today I have a URL, I have a theme color, and a display mode of standalone. Okay, so whenever I launch this today, and notice this is in our tabs view, our sets view as it's called, the sets container, I'll have a back button and nothing else. Okay, so if I navigate forward, I've got that back button there to navigate me back. Now the next mode, let's do full screen. Now full screen, there's an API that you can actually make this full screen, but what we also want to show you is that full screen will give you a view with no UI, so you have no back button. If you want to tell us, my app completely handles navigation, I don't need any additional controls, then this is a perfect one for you. And then the last one, the minimal UI. When I load that, I have no idea where this is coming from. Not important. So a minimal UI will give you a UI that looks much like what you would get in the Edge browser today, a back button, forward button, refresh, and it shows the URL. So if URL is an important part of your app, you can choose this UI. Now, theme color is another thing that I want to show you. We've been setting the color here for all of this, but if I change it to something else, like light blue, then your application will adapt to the theme color. So we'll change the tab color and any additional UI that we have there to the color of your theme. All right, so in our current version, RS4, the spring release, we do have APIs that can color taskbar and everything. There are things that you can call inside your application, but we got feedback from developers that this should happen automatically from the manifest. And it makes sense. You're giving us theme color information. We'll be able to apply that to the shell of your app. Okay. Now the second thing I want to cover, and I'm going to do this quickly, is service workers. And the reason why I'm going to do this quickly is because we do have a whole session on service workers tomorrow, which will be awesome. So if you want to learn more about this, I highly suggest you attend Ali's session tomorrow. But I do want to make sure that we at least cover it high level here, because it is important. Today, a network request, the typical network request, means your app is loaded inside the browser, and that page makes calls down to the server. The server then passes the data back up. Pretty typical. What a service worker does is it sits in the middle of the request between your web page and your server. So it runs independently of the page, and then it can manage your network traffic, which means if I'm making a request to the server, the service worker can then jump in and say, hey, maybe you want me to pull this from the cache instead. And if it has it in the cache, it pulls it in the cache, returns the entire request to you without even making a call to the server. So you can imagine this is very helpful for running things offline, for handling poor network connection, and for giving really good performance to your applications. Web apps have tended to get quite heavy lately. I was hearing talk about how some folks were able to get their web page down to a meg and a half. In my day, meg and a half would be embarrassing, right? I want to see 20K. That's what I want on my web pages. But this helps manage that weight. And this is how it works. There's two aspects to the service worker. One, you add to your page, okay, and this is where you register your service worker. And this is where the service worker is going to tell you what content it's going to cover. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to feature detect whether your browser or your PWA supports service workers. And if it does, then it's going to see if you have a controller installed. Now, if there's already a service worker controller, that means there's already a service worker installed, and you're done. You move on. If it doesn't find a controller, then it registers a service worker. Now, the service worker where it's registered is actually quite important, because you want this pretty much to live on the base of your PC, or the base of your website, because it's only going to have access to its own scope. So if you put the service worker like in the JavaScript folder, it'll only be able to handle traffic to the JavaScript folder. If you want it to cover your whole site, you want to put it on your root. Okay, then the second thing is actually the code that runs in the service worker file. It's called a service worker because it's a type of web worker. So it runs independent, it does not have DOM access, but what it does is it has this event listener for a fetch. A fetch event happens anytime a network request is made. It doesn't matter if it's for XHR or an image or HTML page, every time a request is made, this event is fired. Your service worker can then subscribe to that event. When the fetch event is fired, it then makes some decisions. It catches and intercepts the request. The second thing it does is it goes and it looks if it can pull it from its cache. Okay, and this is how mine is written. This is programmatic. You can write it however you want. This particular one is going to look at the cache first. And if it has that file from the cache, it returns it right away. It doesn't even make the network request. If it doesn't have it in the cache, of course, it's going to go to the network, it's going to find it, and then it's going to return whatever it finds on the network. But it's also then going to write what it got from the network back to its cache, so the next time it makes a request, it has it there in the cache. So that's the way the application will continue to get faster and faster whenever you use it more, right? The user visits a page, it loads all of that in the page. The next time they go to that page, it's already in the cache. Like I said, we can hear more about this in Ali's talk tomorrow. Now, one of the topics that I get a lot of questions about, the most questions about, is how we're handling PWAs on the Windows platform, and specifically in the Microsoft Store. So our philosophy is that progressive web apps should be considered first-class applications on Windows. You shouldn't need a progressive web app and a store app. We want your progressive web app to be able to be your store application. And we've got a really great example coming up to talk about that in a few minutes. There's two ways that your application can be listed in the store. The first one is through a beta program that we have where we're doing auto-indexing. We already have this crawler called Bing that is going out there and looking at the internets all day long. So it's building data for us about the progressive web apps that it finds. And then we apply some algorithms to them to figure out which ones are high quality progressive web apps and should be listed in a store and which ones aren't meant for a store. Okay, I have a beta tag here and we'll talk a little bit more about this, but it's very early on. So we're still working out a lot of the details. This is a pretty tough thing for us to do. The second thing is there's an option for self-publishing. Self-publishing means you as a developer at any point can go to PWA Builder, you can put your URL in and it'll give you an apex that you can put in the store. Okay, you just open a dev account and you can publish it yourself. So how do you get indexed? Our goal is that all of you should only have to publish your manifest to your web server. We should be able to find it and do the rest. So that's what our goal with this is. So there's a couple things. First of all, of course, you have to be HTTPS to be found. You have to have a high quality manifest. So we showed some of the values at the beginning that we're looking for in high quality manifest. We want to be able to show screenshots in a store. We want a description. So we're looking for those type of things in the manifest. Of course, it has to support offline functionality. It has to pass our store certification. There's certain things that we don't allow in the store. We don't allow adult content. We don't allow offensive content. If you sell digital goods, today you still have to use the Microsoft Store SDK to sell that. So if you have digital goods, you will not be auto-indexed. And then last but not least, we're looking for some Windows differentiators. We're looking for ones that give the user a reason to use the progressive web app rather than just navigating in the browser. We also have a really great tool called SoNarwhal. Okay, it's like sonar and narwhal put together, SoNarwhal. And the team that builds this is probably the smartest people I've ever met. So if you want the smartest minds in the web looking at your web page to figure out what you can do better, this is a really great place to start. So what this does is it scans your site and it tells you where you can make improvements from everything from accessibility to performance. And it also tells you what you might want to do to become a progressive web app. So in the scope of being indexed, you'll want to make sure that you go through this so you have an idea what we're looking for as far as high quality progressive web apps. Now I'm going to show you really quickly what this looks like. So I have SoNarwhal here, and I've got a web app. So basically, I'm passing in the URL and running the scan, and then it's going to go out and it's going to look at your pages in detail. So it's going to take about 2 minutes to go through and scan this. And then it's going to start returning you information about how you can make your application better. It has errors and warnings. It'll tell you like, hey, this is where you're doing something wrong. Here's where something you can do something better. And so it's a really great tool to be able to get an idea of the improvements that need to be made on your application. Okay, so there are some cases where you may not want to be indexed and listed in the Windows Store. So I want to make sure we're clear that you do not have to have your progressive web app in the store. There's a couple ways to make sure that doesn't happen. First of all, if you don't have a manifest, you're not HTTPS, or you don't have offline capabilities, you won't be in there. The second thing is in your robot.txt files, you can tell Bing to ignore your manifest. Then we won't look there and we won't see you as a PWA. You can also put your browser state or your display state to browser. That way we know you just intend to be opened inside of the browser. And last but not least, you can make a service request to the store. If your app gets listed, but you don't intend it to be in the store, you can send an email to report app and we'll get that taken care of for you. We have some partners who already have native apps in the store. And one of the things that we look at is we try to look at whether there is a native app in the store already. And if there is, we don't auto-index the PWA because that could make a confusing scenario. but sometimes the native app and the domain are different, and so we don't make that connection automatically. So if that type of thing, that type of scenario happens, you can let us know and we'll remove the listing, no problem. Now, one of the things that you can do, if you were waiting for the indexing and you get indexed, but then you want to take that application over, you can actually do that simply by opening a dev account, and that's at dev.microsoft.com, and then emailing that same address to Report App, and then we will transfer that application over to your dev account. We've had a few partners who have done this already, and we don't have many in the store yet. So we're getting good feedback that it's working out great. When you have a store account, you get a bunch of other goodies with that. So if you decide to go down the self-publishing route, you also go and open a dev account at dev.microsoft.com. And if there are folks who want to do this, I actually have a list of tokens for web developers so that you can get a free account. So reach out to me and I'll make sure that you get that so you don't have to pay the $20 or whatever the sign up is. You have to adhere to the store policies. So some of the things that we mentioned before, they go for self-publishing as well as the indexed ones. And then the last step is to generate an APEX with Visual Studio or PWA Builder Online or CLI so that you have something to submit to the store. And the APEX basically wraps your manifests and your images and stuff up and puts it in the store so that they can create that listing. Okay, I want to talk a few minutes about PWA Builder because this is a mechanism that we're working through with the community to help developers move from web apps to progressive web apps. So there might be companies out there who are already progressive web apps. It's totally cool. This is not for you. You've probably moved beyond this. But if you're trying to figure out how to go from a web app to a progressive web app, that's why we have PWA Builder. We have command line and the website for it. We will help you build a manifest. So if you don't have a web manifest yet, we can help you do that along with images. We have a collection of base service workers that you can start from. So some of the code that I pulled before was from our service workers. And then we'll generate an APEX for you for Windows 10 and even help you generate wrappers for other platforms that don't auto-submit to the store for their PWAs. Okay, I'm going to take a minute here and kind of walk you through this. So PWA Builder, I'm going to take this same Southridge Ridge web app here, this amazing looking demo application. Someone very handsome must have built. I built it. And I'm going to put the URL in. Now, I have a manifest on this site already, so it's actually going to recognize that and bring that up, but it'll allow me to then go through and edit any of the information. If you don't have a manifest, then we actually will scrape your site and try to build one for you. Okay, we can figure out from your title tag what the name should be. If you have any icons on there, we can add them. If you have meta tags for other platforms, we bring them in and turn it into the standard manifest. Okay, and then here you can copy this. If that's all you need, you can download it or copy it right there. You can generate additional images. The next step is the service workers, and we have a number of them to choose from. We also have May is Service Worker Month in our team, so we're working on service workers this month where we're going and building out another three more service workers and then making some edits these ones as well. So we'll have some more choices for you later on this month. But these ones are meant to just get you started. Feel free to take them, build on top of them, edit them as much as you want. But if you just want to show a page that says we're offline, we can do that for you. If you want to do a cache first, we can do that for you. If you want to go and only pull from the cache when the network is slow, we can do that for you as well. And then the last step is where we handle the publishing. So we give you the wrappers for iOS and Android here. We also do macOS and Windows 7, but that's with the CLI only. Now, the first thing I'm going to do is show you the Windows package, We're going to download what we provide here, and we're going to give you basically everything that you've built out here already. And then we're also going to give you a side loadable package. So if you want to know how it's going to run on your Windows 10 machine, what it's going to look like, you can do that here. And we've got a bit of nesting that we're working on as well. The folders here. And then we have this test install script where you can run it. And the only requirement is that your machine is in dev mode. You don't need to install anything else. And then your application is sideloaded for you to do your testing. Okay, so it's actually pretty simple to get started. You are also, when you're done, when you're ready to submit it to the store, you want an AppX. We've got another window for that here. This information comes from the Windows Dev Center account. So I have one of those open here. Basically, you go in, you pick your name, and it should match the name on your manifest. And then it will give you the three pieces of information that you need to give back to PWA Builder to generate your AppX right. Okay, it's going to give you your package name, your package publisher, and your package display, publisher display name. Okay, so then you go back and you plug those in, give it a version number so that you can continue to version it if you need to make changes. And then we'll turn you back that same package, but there'll be a new folder in there called packages that has an AppX inside of it. And then that goes right into the dev store, and that's all it takes. Okay, I mentioned that we really want your PWAs and your web code to be the best experience on Windows. When you're a PWA, you inherit certain benefits from being progressive web apps on Windows that you don't get when you just run in the browser. So first of all, the Dev Center itself gives you some pretty cool analytics about your web app. If you want to know how often it's open, how long your users are using it, how many times it crashes, how long it takes for it to open, those type of data, you get that from a Dev Center account. Even if you're indexed, this is a pretty good reason to then take ownership of that app so that you can get this data. If you want to do in-app purchases to do the non-physical content, you can do that, the digital content. It's promotable. We do promote progressive web apps in the store just like any other application. So you want to be listed and highlighted. It can happen as a progressive web app. We remove the data storage caps for your PWA. So even on things like IndexedDB, the data caps that you have in the browser are removed so you can store additional data. Of course, the service workers work there in conjunction with your progressive web app so that you get that same offline and network experience. And then last but not least, you get access to the Windows APIs. So different platforms give you access to different things when you're a progressive web app. We give you access to the entire API surface that Windows developers get. So all of those APIs that you kind of wish were standardized in the web, we give you access to. I'm going to have Charlie come up here in a minute because Twitter is a really great example. They've done just a fantastic job of taking their progressive web app and really making it light up for their users on the web. And this is one tweet in particular. I think, Charlie, you're going to talk about this more, so we'll kind of go over it. But it was really cool to see some of those APIs being utilized inside of Twitter to build experiences that just aren't available in the browser today. Now, how do you use an API? They're actually written in JavaScript, so you use them just like you would use any other JavaScript API. The first thing you do is you feature detect whether you should use it or not. Remember, progressive web apps should build up on top of your app, okay? So you feature detect and say, yes, I'm inside of the Windows app. In this scenario, I'm doing a pinned app. So if I want to do a secondary tile where maybe a particular page of your PWA, you want to let them pin to the start menu, This is what you do. So you call the tile object, which is inside of this Windows UI namespace, and then you decide the coordinates on the screen for the button where it's placed, and then whenever you want it to open to prompt the user to pin it, then you call the tile the request create for selection async. Okay? The naming conventions that we have here don't feel very JavaScript in the APIs, but the good side of that is they are equivalent to what the C++ and C# developers use. So if you're looking for documentation and stuff like that, it's quite helpful to be able to go down to the same namespaces. This is another one that I think is very important because we're talking to other platforms as well, and they're saying activated events can be very, very powerful. They have a lot of users asking for those as well. So we give you an event that is called activated inside of your progressive web app so that you know when your app is launched and how your app is launched. And you can also pass in data with the launch of that app. So in this scenario, this one is launched by a voice assistant. So a voice assistant launches the application. The activated object then fires. And inside of that, I look at the arguments that are passed in. It tells me how it was launched by a voice assistant. And then I also have additional content that's passed in this case, the command word that was used. And then in my JavaScript, based on the command word, I navigate to a particular URL. Okay, you can also do this with tiles, secondary tiles, with notifications. There are many ways for your apps to be launched today, even auto-launching applications. The activated object tells you how that happened and gives you access to data that you might need when you pass through that launch. Okay, so going back to the APIs themselves, I'm going to show you another quick application here. This is a travel app, okay? And basically, you're selecting where you want to go. I'm going to go on a vacation next week. And then when it goes to pick your people, if you're on the web page, this lets you type out the name of the friends that you want to invite. In this case, because I'm in the PWA, it's going to call out to the native API for my contacts, and it's going to list my contacts. I apparently don't have many friends, but luckily this is my wife, so if I'm going to take anyone on a trip with me, I should take her, right? I'm going to go down and add it to my calendar. And again, instead of having a calendar file that I download, like it would be on the web page, in this case, it actually opens my calendar. And then it adds an appointment right to that calendar. That's a native API that we can call. And then at the end, when I'm all done, it sends me a toast notification that says, pack my bags. There it is. Now, what I'm going to do is open the F12 tools here. And you can use your F12 tools with your Progressive Web App. When you have a side-loaded version like you get from PWA Builder, you just hit F12 and it opens. And then I'm going to go back to PWA Builder because we have a new feature that we're working on. And you can get to this today by going to preview.pwabuilder.com/windows. And it is a sample library for Windows APIs. We get asked a lot, which APIs should I use as a web developer? And we say, well, hey, use whatever you want. But what we're really trying to do is collect the top 15 APIs that folks are using and then give you snippets that you can then take and add to your application. So right now, we just have a few in here that we're testing with. So things like create tile, create a secondary tile, create the dark theme check, change the app bar titles. And what we give you is we'll give you the parameters that you need to launch that, which aren't showing up here. Let's try that again. Yeah, we'll give you the parameters that you need to launch that, and then the code that you add to your application. So for example, the create dark check, I'm going to go ahead and copy this out, and then I'm going to go back to this PWA that I have here, and in the F12 tools, I will paste this in the console, and then I'm going to call it and it's going to return whether my computer is set to a light or dark theme. If it's light, I might want to use one CSS file. If it's a dark theme, I'm going to use another one. So they're just JavaScript APIs that we're calling out to. And we're planning to pull that library off the beta server and onto the main server in the next couple weeks. Okay, so I kind of hinted at this earlier, but I'm going to ask Charlie to come up and talk a little bit about the Twitter experience of building PWA on Windows. So Charlie Kroon from Twitter.
Thank you. How's it going, everyone? As Jeff mentioned, we recently launched the Twitter PWA into the Microsoft Store. I'm an engineer on the web team that worked very hard on putting that in there, along with 20-some other people, so we hope you're enjoying it. And I wanted to share with you guys some of the ways that we're using the PWA APIs right now, the Windows APIs, to enhance our experience, in the hopes that you guys can find some use out of them and make these really great non-baseline PWAs, as Jeff is talking about. All right, so I'm going to split these into two categories a little bit, some of the configuration APIs and the feature APIs, and tell you how we're using some of those. And first things first, you're going to be spending a lot of time, just like Jeff did there, to try and get these applications working just the way you want, to really explore some of these APIs and make sure they work. So I encourage you to get your dev environment set up first. At Twitter, what I did is I started by using pwabuilder.com to actually download that sample manifest, as just as Jeff did. And it really is that fast to start and get it into the store. It's a really cool experience. All we did to build on top of that was tweak our logos, add in our developer information, and actually edit the manifest a little bit to add in some of these features you're going to see. The second thing I did, and I know this is super unpopular at a Microsoft conference, but we all develop on Mac machines. And that means I needed a good way to iterate quickly. So what I ended up doing was using a VirtualBox and one of the VMs provided by Microsoft. You can get an insider build VM that's really useful. And I used that, along with the DevTools Preview Edition, as he just showed, to actually run my website on my host system on Mac OS, and then access it from my VM, so I could quickly sort of experiment with the application. All right, so before you start this journey into PWA land, a word of warning, a word of caution. You guys are going to be some of the first people experimenting with this, and it can be a rocky path at times. The API is massive, and that's a blessing and a curse. There are so many things you can do, and you can go to the Microsoft website right now, look at all the APIs, and it's overwhelming. But if you navigate carefully and look for some of the gotchas, you'll be off to a good start. So one of the things is you're not going to find JavaScript examples for every single thing you want to do. So as long as you can convert from the C# examples given into JavaScript, usually this is just changing that first letter to make it lowercase, that can be really useful. It's also sometimes hard to figure out exactly what certain API calls do. And you can get around this by just testing them. Go into DevTools, paste them in, see what happens. This was a great way for us to figure out how to do a review request, for instance. The other thing I want to mention is that the async requests that you'll make, so those things like saving a secondary tile, they don't come through as native JavaScript promises. So you can't mix native JavaScript promises with those promises. They have the same interface. You would call .then and do the result on any of them, but they're going to be a little bit different. So that's another thing. All right, so armed with these disclaimers, let's jump in and talk about some of the first APIs we used. These are the configuration APIs. They're things that are sort of invisible to the user oftentimes, but can make a big difference in the way that you use your app. They're oftentimes getters or setters, so they're one-liners or two-liners, and they're really straightforward to use, so I think they're a great place to start. The biggest thing you can do, this, I literally spent like 3 days tracking down this one line of code that you see at the top. Put it in your app, do it. Anytime your app opens, it's going to restart. It's going to reload the web page. Twitter, the way we developed our website, functions as a single page application. And so we really want to avoid reloading it at all costs. This one line makes it so that anytime you click a notification, you trigger one of those activated events Jeff was talking about, your app won't reload. You can just handle it with the native JavaScript. And then the second thing you want to do is actually do something with that activated event. He gave a great example of that, and there's actually a lot of good documentation online, so I'm not going to go too deep into that. But this is how we handle things like clicking a pinned tile and making sure you go to the right user and so forth. All right, so one of the biggest pieces of feedback we got when we first launched the beta was that our insiders were complaining about the size of the window. So thank you to all the insiders who tested it out and helped us sort of get some of that low-hanging fruit, because this was a discovery process for us as well. Turns out, on desktop, people often use Twitter as a second screen experience. They like to sort of let the feed scroll by while they're doing something else. And this wasn't a conscious choice we made, but by default, your app can only go to a certain size. You actually can't make it smaller than what you see on screen right now. This wasn't anything we consciously chose, because as web developers, you don't think about being able to size the browser, right? That's really weird. The browser sizes you, not the other way around. But it turns out this is something you can control when you're in a Windows-wrapped app. So really quick, we just changed the minimum size. We made it a little bit smaller. That's a nice, easy fix. So here you can see we actually get the current view for our application. And we do two things. The first is we exit full screen mode. So if someone had been viewing a video and closed the app, the next time it would open in full screen again. That's sort of wonky and weird. So we can prevent that with one line. And then we change the minimum size. It's that straightforward. You can do a lot of other cool things around dealing with the layout. You can theme the top bar, like Jeff mentioned. You could look at the user's accent color and do some interesting things with that and sort of bringing their OS accent color into your app as well. All right, so if you guys are like me and you look at this slide, it's probably a little jarring. And most of our users notice this too. I'm actually light sensitive, so staring at this really bright screen is super annoying. Jeff sort of stole the thunder on this one, but it's something Twitter's fixing as we speak right now. People are working on it. And that's night mode, right? That's a little bit nicer to look at. And when we're done implementing night mode, we can actually make a richer experience on Windows as well. So we can do exactly what he mentioned. We have this method here. This is actually something I wrote on the plane up called is Windows dark mode. We can check that. And if it is Windows dark mode, we can use that to just automatically set our app into night mode as well. It's really straightforward and pretty cool. All right. So let's move on to some of the flashier stuff. These are the ones people are going to notice and the ones you sort of hear about in those keynote speeches. The interesting thing is that these things with asterisks, only those changes actually required us to redeploy into the Microsoft Store. So keep in mind that most of these can be done without having to update your app in the store. You can use your existing deploy interface. And for Twitter, that's deploying every single day. It's actually a really cool way to operate. So this is another airplane demo, as I call it. I played with the timeline just to see what an integration there might look like. So you can imagine you're on Twitter, you're viewing your live event, and you decide you have to leave your computer for a bit. Well, if you come back later in the day or on a different device, you could go back in your timeline, click on this, and be taken back into your moment or live event and catch up on everything you missed while you're away. It's a really cool little thing to do. All right, some of the other things, as I mentioned, we have secondary tiles, so you can pin your favorite users. It allows you to very quickly get into a deeper place in the app than your launch screen, sort of keep up with that. We have jump lists as well, so if you know that you want to go in and compose a tweet, it just takes one click to get there. It's really simple and straightforward. That just triggers a special kind of activated event that allows you to take you to the compose screen. And then finally, we have share integration. Obviously, being a social network, it's really important that we have sharing to the app and sharing from the app, and that we make it easy. So the other asterisk I want to say is, for all these features, we actually do code splitting on them. And if you guys don't have this today, it's sort of you can use Webpack. And that means you dynamically load code as you need it. We want to create a really rich Windows experience, right? That also shouldn't come at the expense of our Android users or our mobile web users. We don't want them to have to download code that they're not going to use. It's going to eat up their CPU time doing parsing. It's going to eat up their network bandwidth in areas of the world they might have to pay per gigabyte. So setting your site up something like this will make it sustainable so that as you pile on these cool Windows APIs in the future, you're not clogging up other systems. You're getting the right code to the right users. That's part of being a PWA. All right, so what I want to show you guys as my last demo is the share interface. There's actually a web standard for doing share right now. It takes three parameters, a title, a text, and a URL, and returns a JavaScript promise. And the idea is that somewhere in the middle there, you're able to share via the native OS interface. So while the Windows standard is imperative, you just call that one line, the web API is imperative, the Windows API is event-based. And so we're going to finagle the Windows API into this web share interface. And because it's event-driven, that means the first thing we need to do is create an event handler. All this handler does is it's going to format those three parameters and put them onto the Windows share request. It's pretty straightforward there, you can see. All right, and then part two is, as you can see in the first line, we're using that lazy loaded interface, that post load event to sort of do our shimming or polyfills. We're gonna attach ourselves to the data transfer manager. That's just a Windows API that lets us know when a share has been requested. And we're gonna attach that event handler you just saw. And then we're gonna mimic or polyfill the existing web API where it doesn't exist. This is as simple as taking that share data and storing it for later use by our event handler, calling the share UI, and then using a promise resolve to make sure that our application behaves the same way. Because we'd already implemented this in our app, it allowed us to just drop this into Windows and get share on Windows without any additional work. All right, so that's a quick overview of some of the ways that we use the Windows API right now. Hopefully you find these useful. There's a plethora of tools out there on the API that are really cool. If you want to hear more and some more background about the Twitter app and how we brought it to the Windows Store and brought it to widescreen, we have a theater session tomorrow that I hope you'll attend. And of course, you can always find us on Twitter if you have more questions. So thanks again for having me, and back to you, Jeff.
All right. Thank you, Charlie. Excellent, thanks. All right, and Charlie was also kind enough to share the share polyfill back with us at PWA Builders so that we can add that to our library. So we'll be adding that as one of the API samples. Now I'm going to talk about one more way that you can use code with your PWA, and then we're going to talk about the roadmap a little bit as far as what's next down the line. So you can actually have your progressive web app call native code on Windows 10. Now, do we have any C# developers in the room? Okay, so this can be quite valuable for you. I don't know if you've, stop me if you've heard this one, but why does a JavaScript developer wear glasses? Because he can't C#? Get it? That's me. I'm a JavaScript developer, so the C# that you're gonna see is very rudimental, and that's as good as I can do, so you have to bear with me. You can attach a custom WinRT object or a portable class library to your progressive web app so that those classes are exposed into your DOM, which means you can create your own DOM API with native components. There are a number of scenarios where you may want to do this. We have the Teams app that is releasing their progressive web app soon, which used some native components for their application. Sometimes it's about code reuse. If you're a C# developer and you have some code that you want to reuse, you can attach that to your progressive web app and feature detect for it, and then call it when you're in your application. There are a few APIs that are available in C# or C++, but aren't exposed in JavaScript. You can use C# to pump those through. And last but not least, your C# and C++ code performs better than JavaScript. If your native component isn't any faster than JavaScript, then you're doing native wrong. Okay, and there are just some times when you need that native performance, and you can do that. So when you're writing your C#, you basically add some metadata to that object that tells us we can expose that to the web. And that's the metadata allow for web. And then you, inside of your C# object, you are gonna expose a class name. And then whenever you're calling that from JavaScript, you'll actually call the class name of your C# object. We have a few minutes, so I'm actually gonna show you this happen in action because I think it's pretty cool. So basically when you're setting up, there's a PWA template in Visual Studio that you can use. And then you add your custom WinRT object into your solution here, and then you add it as a reference. Okay, that's the only thing that you need to do to set it up. And then I'm going to go into my JavaScript here. I mentioned feature detecting. So what I'm going to do is I'm feature detecting for window.communicationWinRT. That's the name of the class name in C Sharp. So I'm not doing window.windows in this case because I'm actually creating my own object name. So if you do this, and once you add it as a reference, let's see here, you'll see what happens. As soon as I start typing, it will actually be there in the autocomplete for me, okay? And then inside of that, I have my call. And so here I'm going to feature detect, and then whenever I hit the button, there will be a call to the toast message, which is inside of that. So I'm going to put a breakpoint right here. Then we're going to load this up. And then let's do a message. You are doing a great job, Jeff. A little bit of reinforcement, right? Now, what happens is whenever I call that, you'll see this test toast object that I instantiated below is going to have inside of it. I know this is really small. I'm sorry, I didn't. Well, it has the toast message inside of that. So I'm passing in the text that I want and the delay that I have on it. Whenever I continue, there will pop up the wrong message, but it did show up in the message center here. It's telling me I'm doing a great job. So that's actually the C Sharp, and sorry, I know toast notification is that exciting, but I told you my C Sharp skills are very bad. So that's about all I could pull off. But it's actually the C Sharp object that is making the toast notification call. My progressive web app JavaScript is calling that object just like it was native, just like it was in the DOM as well. So it can be a very powerful tool to be able to combine the native with the progressive web app. It really helps you take that experience to the next level. One of the key things is the feature detection, because remember, to be and to maintain it as a progressive web app, it has to be able to fall back and work without the native code being there. So the native should be used for something that adds on to your application, not something that your application relies on. Okay, let's talk a little bit about where we're headed with this. One of the important places that we see we need to invest is to continue to invest in service workers. We're very pleased with the response that we're getting from developers now and some of the amazing experiences that developers are out there building, but there's actually even more to the service worker spec that we need to deliver in the future. So the very next thing that we're working on is the periodic sync. Now, the periodic sync will work both in the browser and in the application space. Again, I'm going to suggest you go to the service worker talk tomorrow to see what we're doing beyond that space, but we think that the service worker area is very important for our developers. One of the other things is calling WinRT from a service worker. There are many times when you would want your service worker to be able to call directly to the APIs on Windows without having to open your page. So for example, you have access to a cache, but you may actually want to store something on the TPM chip instead, or in a different storage spot. So our goal is for you to be able to do that from the service worker and not have to take it up to the DOM where the API access is to write to the storage there. Shared cookies is another one that developers ask me about a lot. Right now, the Progressive Web App has its own container. It's sandboxed. It runs standalone, which is very good for performance. It's very good for memory usage. Instead of loading the entire browser, which might be a couple hundred megabyte of memory usage, it loads a small container, which is about 20 or 25 megabytes of usage. But you have separate cookies containers. So we want to make it so that you should be able to share cookies either between your application and the browser. It might be on install, where I install the Twitter Progressive Web App, then Twitter can pass over the cookies that it wants to the Progressive Web App from the browser so that the session can be maintained and other key information. The other option is to be able to constantly share between the two. So basically, there's one cache that they both reference. Instead of having it completely sandboxed, have the option of the developer being able to say, hey, I want to have one cache that we run from. Install from the browser is another thing that we're investigating. We chose specifically to go the store route first on progressive web apps because we truly believe it's important to have progressive web apps be first-class citizens and to be able to replace the need for a store application. But we also get a lot of feedback that the install should be able to happen from the browser. So we're working on that now to figure out what the experience should be for the users from installing from the browser and what that might change with the experience. So for example, right now on the store page, we list the different capabilities that your application is asking for and the different features that it's utilizing. If we didn't have the store page there, we might have to go a different route and prompt the users for that information. But that's on our roadmap to figure out. So a quick summary of what we went through today. Our goal here is to enable great experiences. Okay, we want your web code and your web content to run great on Windows. We want users to experience it just like a regular app. You can add your applications to the store intentfully through a self-publishing or the indexing program that we are working on now so that we can go out and discover them. On Windows, your progressive web apps can be flexible, they can be powerful. You can extend beyond what you can do in the browser today with APIs and native components. And last but not least, we're not done with progressive web apps. We don't see this release as being the end all and our work is done. We see this as just the start. So we're going to continue to work on this to make sure that we've got a great experience for users and we've got a great experience for developers to get their progressive web apps onto Windows. There's a few other sessions that I've mentioned throughout that I want to point out. Tomorrow, they're all kind of right in a row. One of them is the top one, the service workers, is at 3 o'clock. So that's a breakout session that will go deep dive into service workers, how we're doing them on Windows, what we're doing next. At 2 o'clock, I've got another session where we're covering progressive web apps along with a number of the other new technologies that we introduced with this latest release. It's more of a fun theater session than anything else. And then last is also Twitter's Modernizing Twitter for Windows session tomorrow. And I suggest you go to all of them, really learn what we're doing here with progressive web apps. So that's it. Thank you for your time. I appreciate y'all coming out today. Here's our contact info. And then also, if you enjoyed the session, please fill out the evaluation form. If you enjoyed it, the name of the session is Progressive Web App on Windows. If you didn't enjoy it, this was Intro to XAML. Got it? All right, so thank you very much for your time. We do have a few minutes for questions, if anyone has any. Yep, we can, absolutely. And we've got some mics here for questions if folks want to ask so we can all hear.
Any plans on the roadmap to support fluent design where maybe I could have the background blurred and see through the desktop?
Yes. So Fluent Web is a project that we're exploring right now. We think that there's a specific fluent look and feel for web apps. We understand there's web should look a certain way, but when they're web apps, we get a lot of requests for, hey, this should be fluent. The one thing that you will not get in today's builds is a transparent background on the body, but it's on the roadmap because we want to be able to deliver that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, in the back?
Yes, hi. Thank you. That was a great presentation.
All right, thanks.
In the caching example with the service worker that you did, how do you invalidate cache, or is there an expiration on cache
data? So you have a lot of control over the cache as the developer. So you can set your cache to expire at a certain time. You could honor the expiration headers that come with it, because when you're caching it, you're caching the entire request. A lot of times that's also controlled through updates to a service worker. So you can have an update to your service worker that will say, expire this cache at this particular time. So there's a lot of options for you.
Great, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Question for you around the sonar wall and the being an indexer thing for PWAs. Will it be able to work if your PWA has a sign-in page or requires authentication to access?
So do we have anyone from the sonar team here? Because I don't know if, Kyle, can you say that? There is.
For Sonar, there's a CLI version that you can use, so you'd use that in your own build environment to test your own sign-in, so the online scanner wouldn't be able to go behind a login right now. I think that's something they may have on their roadmap, but I'd check with the team there. It's an open source project, so if you raise the issue on GitHub, I'm sure they'd be happy to respond to that. For the indexing from Bing, that's something where, depending on the app, if there's a free registration and if it's a common service, it's something we might look at indexing. But if we don't have a way to easily get into it ourselves in the process of doing the indexing and looking at it in store certification, that's something we'd probably look to you to manually submit or at least contact for follow-up.
In the back, Ken.
Does it already support single sign-on like the browser or UWGP does?
Sorry, say the question again.
Does it support single sign-on via certificate like UWP or the browser does?
It does, in fact, yes. So there is an API for your web auth broker, yes. Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
Will there be any tooling for PWAs in Visual Studio?
Yes. So one of the things we're doing is with the next version of Visual Studio, we're updating the template name. It was hosted web app. It'll now be progressive web app. So that'll get you the base container. We're also working on some Visual Studio code tooling to be able to make it easier to do the testing of the apps and things of that sort. Back there, go ahead.
Will Microsoft Edge support interactive notification from PWA?
So Edge to support an interactive...
Yeah, notifications with actions.
You want a rich notification in Edge?
Yeah, I believe it's supported on other browsers. Maybe it's also in the specification.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
So, hello. So, does that work for a local application? Like, I have an application that's going to work just on the internet, not the internet? That's the question.
Yes. So, you're talking about can a PWA be an intranet application?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I can tell you it's a little bit, there's a few extra steps that you have to go through. For that, you have to use the CLI for PWA Builder to generate the APEX package, but it can be given intranet access. It can be ran in the store for business and all of those type of things.
And the idea is to turn that as a standard thing that's going to work the same way for the Android and the iOS or just for Microsoft?
I don't know that it's really been much of a discussion in the spec space to know how other platforms are going to handle it. It's something that we inherit from our app platform. So there's a little bit of documentation. If you reach out to me afterwards, I can point you in the right direction. But if there's interest in that, we can expand on the documentation and everything too to show you how to do it.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
So when it is auto-indexed, is it going to be an approval process from the owner to say, yes, I'm interested or not? What is the process? Because I hope it doesn't automatically add without the approval.
Well, I tell you, it's interesting. When we talked to developers, the feedback that we got before we started this was, I'm publishing my manifest, and that is my signal that I'm an app. Mm-hmm. So it should be listed in the store. But we weren't quite comfortable with that yet. So what we're doing now is we are reaching out to the registered owners of the site and telling them that, hey, this is the it's been caught. We look at this as a high quality PWA. We intend to create a listing in the store that points to it. And they can then reach out and say, no, we don't want this published.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the other question is, so it's RS4 plus, right? So which means like if I had an older version, it's probably not even going to be listed.
So that's a very good question. RS4 plus for progressive web apps. However, they will fall back to a hosted web app on platforms prior to that, anything after the anniversary update. So you can specify RS4 and up if you really want to make sure that service worker support is there. But other than that, they'll be looked at as hosted web apps, which to a user, the difference is they don't get service workers. That's the big difference between
them. Yeah, that was my next question. So what's the big difference between hosted and this one? So it's just the service workers?
The service workers support, for full support for the W3C manifest, for creating them.
And there is not going, these are not like, hosted web app is not going to have its own life cycle, right? So it's pretty much merged and it's the same technology, which is progressive web app.
We look at PWAs as the next generation.
Right.
Yes.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. What's the go move up here?
Yeah. How is privacy handled with PWA apps? Because how can I block access to the camera or my phone book or the microphone, because the app is not showing up in your privacy in the app list. The Twitter app is not in my app list.
The so Twitter, you're talking about on Windows?
Yeah.
So let's look at that. It should integrate with the settings, and you should be able to turn off those things in the settings of the app list is in the settings.
It's not there now.
Okay, we'll look at it.
Yeah, I find it very important.
Okay.
But you're working on that, or?
It should show up right now. We can look at that. It might be a bug. It also doesn't, I don't know, maybe it's a question for you. The capabilities in your AppX manifest define what you can use. So a capability would be the camera. By default, I think PWAs only have the internet client capabilities.
Right.
And I don't know how access would work for the camera, but you might have to specifically request it like you would for any other app in the store.
Correct. It may be treated, if you're using the browser APIs, the user media APIs, then it may be just treated under Edge. Just as under Edge, it might be that if you use the camera APIs, the WinRT camera APIs, that it shows up there. But I'll look into that because
it's
should. Yep, camera and notifications, location should all show up in your settings. Let's go to the back next there.
Any chance we're gonna get real JavaScript promises, or is that a Windows thing?
Are we going to get real JavaScript promises?
So we can say like async await instead of then and then and then.
Are you a C sharp developer?
I was.
Because they're real enough for me. No, that's a good question. Absolutely. I can't speak to the Chakra roadmap, but we get that feedback a lot. Yeah. All right, front.
So my question is about web app installation. So
yes.
You mentioned a bit. So there is quite an active discussion going on GitHub, on one of the repos by Mozilla folks, about where to go next. So to give or not to give to developers the possibility to show this prompt when they want, or to follow heuristics like it now, and how to make this prompt to keep it kind of disruptive and like interrupting your flow, or to keep it as a subtle button somewhere. So what's your personal opinion, and what's maybe Microsoft's opinion on that?
I don't think Microsoft has an official position yet. My position is that I'm glad that we went the store route first, because there's a lot of emotion on both sides of that. Some developers feel quite strongly about one side, others feel quite strongly about the other side. So we want to hear a decision from the community for that, because it is, I can see value in both, you know, strongly prompting, and then also, you know, like leaving it up to the developer to decide. So,
okay.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yeah, let's hit in the back and then we'll get you next. All right, go ahead.
So as far as far as I know, there's no window saying for telling an app what level of disruptiveness you can use, right? Could you hypothetically set it to no, you can't interrupt me, yes, you can set it to interrupt me, or yes, you have quiet notifications or notifications or like your options per application?
Yeah.
Is there anything like that that either exists and I don't know about or that is on the horizon?
I can answer about this installation prompt. You can disable it in your code, so you can listen to the event when it happens, and you can just bypass it.
And on the Windows side, the notification, you know, strength. There's two sides to it. One is yes, the user can control, you know, like when things show and everything. But we have a lot of different types of notification on Windows that we use specifically for different levels of interruption, right? There's toast notification, there's tile updates, there's taskbar updates, and for us, the reason why we have all those different methods is because sometimes you kind of want to leave a message out there on a tile for the next time they open it. You don't necessarily want to stop them in the app to make sure that they know it happens. So we have those mechanisms that would be developer choice at that point. Okay, in the back there. And then after that, if you all want to just come up and ask questions, there's not that many people in the room. We can do some mic.
I was just wondering about whether it's the progressive web app is a viable option for if you're starting from scratch and you want to have a web presence and then apps on Windows, iOS, and Android, and whether this approach would be a good one as opposed to doing something on Xamarin. Or is this something that's very specifically to get something that is you already have a website and now you want to get a presence in the Windows Store and then you've got an iOS and Android native app as well? I mean, you know, maybe that ties with what Twitter did, or what do you think about that question?
So it's a great question. And we actually get that a lot when we're working with developers. A lot of times they'll ask us, hey, you guys make Xamarin, now you support progressive web apps. You know, you have tooling for Cordova. What's the choice for me? Our opinion is that we don't want to make the choice for you. We want to enable what choice you've made. But when we break down those charts with developers, if you are looking to create a custom experience on each platform, Xamarin works really well because you can share a lot of code and then build separate heads for each platform. But if you're looking for a build once type of scenario that then runs across the different platforms, then progressive web apps are a really powerful tool. And especially when you add in service workers to get that native-ish performance, we're seeing a lot of partners, even a lot of our internal applications, who are going that route to make that cross-platform application.
I guess maybe then the question is, what is the equivalent of the progressive web app on iOS and Android? Do they have an equivalent?
It's a progressive web app.
That they have the same thing?
Now, keep in mind, every platform handles it in their own way. So we're not 100% sure how Apple is going to handle it in their platforms. We kind of know where they're going, but Apple, they go their own way. So we know on Chrome, their install from the browser install, basically Google search results becomes the store listings type of scenario. They have not yet committed to a Play Store scenario. But what we've done is, because we do have a lot of partners who have asked for store scenarios, PWA Builder builds wrappers for iOS, Android, Mac, and Windows 7 so that you can still use the PWA, put it in the wrapper. It's not as light as just a PWA. You know, it still has the wrapper weight. And we're trying to make a switch so that we're using the default web view on every platform so that it's as light as it can be, as transparent as it can be, and still meet those needs. And we've had a number of developers who do that, and they use that to be their store solution. And, you know, we can hook you up with some of them if you kind of want some advice as to how it went for them.
Thanks.
All right. Other questions, or if not, just come on up. Yeah, let's get these guys first, and then.
All right.
Yes, if you want a discount code for the App Store, send me a direct message on Twitter, and I'll give you one. No problem. Yeah, yeah.
Just real quick.
Yep.
So you mentioned that you want the PWAs to be first-class citizens in the store, which I get and I agree with. My concern a little bit is with the auto-updating because of the nature of PWAs and that it's coming from the web, is there any concern around user confusion because you install an app and then you never see an update from it, whereas you install another native app from the store and you see updates all of the time, hopefully. So, I mean, is there some thought about maybe calling out one type versus the other just so that the user understands?
So we actually have gone through some of that before because we also had worked with our store because we were like, hey, how do you guys feel about the fact that content's being updated and not going through the store? Like, you know, I mean, they could totally switch to a non-approved site, right?
What about policies? Yeah.
And they told us two things. They said, first of all, people usually don't look at updates. They have no idea when updates come down, like if they're autoed update. We do have some partners who specifically go and update the release notes once a month so that people realize the app is being up to date. And the third thing is the store has ways of knowing that content has gone through a major change. So for example, if it was one site on Tuesday, then on Wednesday it changed, redirects to another site, they have ways of knowing that. And then they go and pull them if that happens. So there's some magic there that I don't even know about, but.
Yeah, is there some way like in the manifest to denote that there's a new version and maybe have release notes in there that could then be ingested into the store?
That is a great question. We should bring that to the spec level because that's not in there right now. And I bet you that would be a really great idea because release notes, we do have release notes in the store, but you know, you'd have to go through the dev center to update them. It'd be better to do it in manifest.
Because then the store could just periodically crawl the known manifest and just check for updates.
Right. In the back there?
Do you guys have any plans to build tooling for like Angular CLI or Vue.js CLI or any of those tools?
Say again, I didn't quite hear you.
Yeah, it's kind of low. Do you have any plans to build some of the some tools for like Angular CLI or Vue.js CLI or any of those tools that people use for building the web apps to begin with?
So I tell you, I think our strategy is going to be to plug into Visual Studio Code because we think there is a lot of use cases. By the way, I have some PWA stickers up here, Windows colors, if anybody wants any. We think there is a use case for being able to, you know, have these tools available when you're starting a new application. And so that's kind of where we're starting. You know, there's really not too much to building the PWA. And that's kind of one of the cool things is that, like, the most part you focus on your web app. The PWA stuff, the manifest should be pretty easy. You know, we try to make that. And then service workers is generally once you figure it out for your app, you're probably done. So, you know, I think plugging into the tooling is a better approach for us at this point.